Hello everyone, welcome to edition 141 of the NRF1 podcast on Audio Boom, definitely on Acast. I've sorted it out on iTunes and on Future Radio in Norwich. I hope this finds you extraordinarily well. We're here to review round 21, the final round of the 2016 Formula One World Championship, which of course took place in Abu Dhabi, the deciding round of the World Championship. We'll be discussing the incredible events at Yas Marina. What a weekend to sign off this year's calendar, the likes of which we thought we'd never see. Ferrari making a positive strategy call. Who knew? Apparently there's a few other bits we need to get through as well. So my name is Michael Bailey. I'm joined for our penultimate pod of the year by David Tillier, DT, off of Dave on Cars. Is that what is your official title?
David on Cars is so that's me on Instagram, Twitter, and the new Drive Tribe.
Also got Kyle Cumbers, former Carter, big Formula One fan, and has various fingers in Formula One pies. That's how I like to describe it. You can ruffle your nose, Kyle, but I'm not having any of it. He'll accept it, he says. And Richard Baxter is here, Formula One and Damon Hill aficionado, as we're officially going to title you today. And now Kyle and Richard are both at Chez Bailey to watch the Abu Dhabi events unfold. Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah. It's a very nice house. I even got to get my car on the driveway. It just about fitted. And yeah. Is fit a word? I think fit is a word. That'll do.
That's fine, Rich. Carl?
Is it? Yeah, very nice afternoon.
Are you putting the pressure on there and putting them bang on the spot? But they delivered. Thank you very much.
Did you entertain them well?
No, I was terrible. No, I didn't even get any nipples out. My lovely wife made sure we had something in the house. I was still knackered from going to Derby for the football, which is depressing enough. And as always, we won't talk about the football unless something good ever happens. Right, so let's get stuck into it, shall we? Nico Rosberg, just as I predicted at the start of this season, is Formula One World Drivers' Champion, an incredible effort. Yeah, all right. Well, I did say he would never win it, which does seem to have immediately earmarked the fact that he then went on to win it. When we did ask this, whether who would deserve to win it, clearly Lewis had the major failing. But, you know, reflecting on it now, for the grit, the guile, for the fact, the perseverance, and he's had a really good season of it, he clearly deserves it. The person who wins it deserves it. Isn't that right, DT?
Yeah, it was interesting watching the race last night, and I wasn't sure what my emotions were going to be when it all finished, and if we ended up with the result that we did end up with. I thought I was going to be quite angry. I thought I was going to be, you know, cause being a Lewis Hamilton fan, I wanted him to win, but actually I wasn't upset, and I quite liked the way that Rosberg conducted himself in the race yesterday. He wasn't exciting, but I think he conducted himself really well, and I think he's conducted himself quite well as the way that he celebrated winning the championship and the way that he conducted himself on the podium, etc., all of that stuff. And I'm left thinking, yeah, this is okay. I'm happy with this. You know, I would have preferred Lewis, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I think. And he becomes the 33rd world champion in Formula One as well.
He's had probably his best season. If you take the 3 years of Mercedes dominance, Hamilton's won 2-1. That's probably a fair result of where they've been. And to be fair to Nico, many other drivers, for example, Mark Webber, would have fallen apart with a dominant teammate, but he's kept going. He's just taken advantages when they came, and yeah, he deserves it. And I think both drivers came out with credit for the season, and especially yesterday. So yeah, I agree with DT. I was obviously wanted Lewis Hamilton to win, but yeah, that's fair enough.
Just about credit, I think we'll maybe get stuck into other bits as well. Rich, Nico Rosberg, hey. Now, 34, 36 years between him and KK winning the world championship?
34.
Thanks, Carl. 34 years, which is exactly the same as between Damon and Graham Hill.
Well, I didn't know the exact years, but I'm
yeah, no, they were. It's exactly the same gap, apparently.
That's impressive. But, of course, it just shows that the Britons on that kind of thing are just a little bit further ahead of Germany, you know?
Yeah, in that way.
Still behind us a bit.
And we do still have more world champions over anyone. We are the most successful nation. Interesting fact about the whole Rosberg, the Keke, Nico thing is that they both won by 5 points as well.
Oof! There we go. I've got some little stats here off of the F1 website. Rosberg only the third German to win the F1 title. I'm not going to ask you who the other two are because that would be silly. In total, 13 drivers and combinations have raced in F1, but the only other duo, Graham and Damon Hill. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome stuff, really. And both Keke and Nico carry number 6 as well. So there we go.
So I was a bit surprised to hear that, because I thought that Gilles Villeneuve had won a world championship, but clearly he hasn't.
No, Gilles hadn't. No.
I thought the same thing. We had this discussion yesterday. It was actually...
And we put Rich down.
Yeah, yeah, I thought the same thing. But
I didn't know it. I just assumed it, I think, because obviously Gilles is so well... He's a well-renowned... Was a well-renowned driver, so there's just assumed.
There is a circuit named after him. What more do you want? Britain lead Germany 16-12 on the titles front, so that's pretty good.
KK Rosberg, he didn't actually win a race in his championship year.
He won one.
He won one in his whole career, didn't he? So was that year?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think he won. So there was some weird statistic, like one race and then won the whole world championship. Mm. Crazy, really.
How many did Nico win this year?
Nine.
How many did Lewis win?
10.
Yes, the most races a driver has won without winning the world championship, which is a phenomenal stat in itself. I don't want to go too heavy on Lewis compared to Nico. Nico won it, but let's start. Lewis backing up the whole field, going against Mercedes. His team were in uproar. What the hell's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Where do we all stand on this? Who's right? Lewis right, what he did? Is this completely ridiculous?
Lewis was right. He's a racer. He's a world champion. He's a tenacious person who wants the world championship. Why should he do anything else? He didn't do anything dangerous. He didn't do anything wrong. He was tactical in a sport where it revolves around tactics, where constantly the teams employ teams of people to try and be tactical and try to get one up on the other teams just by doing these little things. Why can't a driver do it too?
Gary Lineker, off of the football, he tweeted, "All leading sports persons ignore advice from the sidelines on occasions. To be the best, you have to think you know best." Absolutely spot on. For me, I cannot understand. I find it phenomenally ridiculous and ludicrous that anyone is questioning the fact that Lewis wouldn't do anything in his control to try and win the world title, especially at a point where he's already helped Mercedes win the Constructors' Championship about 4 months ago. Like, literally. And why even anyone in Mercedes, Toto Wolff, Paddy Lowe, any of them thought, "Oh, this is really bad." Or Niki Lauda said it before the start of the race.
And Paddy Lowe's out of order during the race to come on the radio and say the stuff that he said to Lewis, because he's playing mind games with him. And you've got someone who's trying to win a race, trying to win a world championship. Why get on the radio and start playing mind games with him? Because you're just messing stuff up.
And just one more quote. "Anarchy doesn't work, but maybe you cannot demand a racing driver to comply where his instincts cannot." That was from Toto Wolff.
Well, I don't understand. The Mercedes management, they've got to realise that nobody really cares about the Constructors' Championship. Racing drivers only care about winning championships or beating their teammate, because if they don't beat their teammate, they get the sack. So, like I said, they've already won, what, 4 rounds ago? Would they really expect Lewis to just drive off and say, "Come on, Nico, follow me, we'll get 1-2 for Mercedes, because that's the best result we can get"? He wanted to win the championship. And also, Toto Wolff goes on about, "Oh, entertainment for the sport, and I'm a racer." Well, that's if he says he's a racer. Because, yeah, from what he's going on about. And also, he's going, "Oh, you've got to treat the last race as all the other races." Wasn't he part of the strategy group that decided that it should be double points 2 races ago for the last race? That's absolute nonsense.
It is an absolute nonsense.
But the thing about Toto Wolff as well is that I actually secretly think that he quite liked what Lewis did. I don't think he has any issue with it at all. I think he is so beholden to the Mercedes board that he has to toe that line. I actually secretly think he doesn't really care that because they've already achieved everything. And you could see in his body language that he knows he has to do something about it because it's public. But I don't think he wants to do anything about it. Whereas I think Paddy Lowe and maybe everyone else, they, I think, care more about it, I think, than Toto really does.
But Mercedes made it public by these ridiculous team radio messages. I mean, you say, Carl, no one cares about the Constructors' Championship. They care even less about it once it's already won. I mean, literally, there is nothing Mercedes had to race for. I honestly cannot get it.
There's two really crazy things I can think of about this. First one, all the conspiracy theories early in the season about how the team are destroying Hamilton's car. With radio messages like that, it just puts more emphasis to those being true. And you think, you know, it puts that doubt there that, you know, it makes you think about, actually, are they doing something? Because clearly it doesn't look like they're trying to help Lewis out with what he's going to do. The second one is, I think all the headlines like Fleet Street, obviously, it went wild about it. And I was saying, Hamilton faces the sack. And it's like, wait a second. If you've just won the world championship, what a lot of people say is the best racer on the grid. Are you really going to sack him for ignoring your team orders?
I think that whole thing with, like you say, with Fleet Street, and I think was it the Guardian today that said something about it, that unfortunately is nothing to do with the team. That's just post-truth journalism at the moment.
Oh, don't use the word post-truth. Post-lies, as in.
Yeah.
Post-truth is it's just lie.
They've taken half a quote, extrapolated what they want out of it, and then they've made...
I'm not going to start living in 1984. There's no such thing as alt-right and all this sorry, all our American listeners.
Also, did anyone else notice, I don't know whether I just noticed it because I was sort of hyper aware of it, but when Lewis won both his world championships, his team were quite chuffed. When Nico won the world championship, they were ecstatic.
Well, I thought there was an interesting point. Lewis, in his post-race interview, said... No one's going to help me. I'm the only one who can help myself. No one's going to help me. What? So literally, no one in his team is going to help him. And he did bring up a week or two back, maybe it was 3 weeks, I can't remember, that he still didn't understand why they changed around all the engineers and mechanics. And he could not get his head around that. And you do start piecing it together and, you know, maybe it was just time for a bit of payback for Nico, but you can't necessarily translate that into an engine blow up in Malaysia, even though it's the only engine that for Mercedes that's blown up this year.
Did you see the Ted Kravitz's notebook and Mark Bindle's interview? Because the rumours going around that he sort of offered his resignation after the Spain incident.
Who did?
Lewis Hamilton. Obviously, following the probably had a big discussion, big meeting afterwards, and apparently he said, "Well, I don't want to race anymore this season." And Martin Brundle asked him, and he said that was private and it's in the past.
So, oh, yes, then.
So, yes. I mean, so, like I said, you brought that up again about the mechanics changing over. Also, the incident in Spain. Is there something going on more behind the scenes? Is it all not happy with Hamilton and Mercedes management?
I think that's quite clear from everything that's happened. And we'll just touch into something else here. A tweet from Toby Gruner, who is the German Formula One journalist. He tweeted today, Mercedes told both drivers to come in on lap seven, five laps early, just in case Lewis refused to come in. Now, that just shows the complete undermining of all trust in that team, which takes us beautifully into 2017, when Nico's going to be defending world champion, Lewis is going to be, you know, desperate to get it back, I'm sure. Presumably they're both in the team. And, you know, because who knows what could happen over the winter. Where on earth is the trust at that point?
Mm. And I think it's interesting as well, because I think in a previous podcast, I quaffed at the idea of that being a thing, that there was actually some kind of German conspiracy to have a German driver be a German champion. But actually now, just a few weeks later, I've almost changed my mind. Not completely, because I think it's ridiculous. But it feels as if it could be true.
I just think in Formula One, when a team can send one of its cars into a wall, you really just can't discount anything, can you?
No, not at all. Like the Rosberg side of the things and the team being so kind of pleased, I wouldn't be surprised if partly that's because he's been such a good servant for the team since 2010 when they became Mercedes. He's been there and they've been working their way forwards. And I think I'm pleased for him in that matter because he's finally won a world championship. And just for being with that team for such a long time, I wouldn't be surprised if all the mechanics are that chuffed. But at the same time, as you say, you think, why is there still that doubt there that what is actually going on behind the scenes, and they haven't helped themselves at all?
I suppose there's a bit of balance in this, though, as well, because at the moment, this is in danger of sounding quite bitter. And ultimately, if you play for a football team or you're in a team and there's a guy who doesn't get recognition but works his ass off and shows such determination and willingness and fight and grit and confidence and what have you in a situation where he keeps getting knocked down, he keeps getting back up again, there probably is a complete willingness in Mercedes to think, you know what, it'd be brilliant if Nico just won that. And Christ, some of the things he's done this season have been brilliant. He's really dug in. Brazil sums it up, and it got mentioned on the coverage on Sunday. Just to have come through that and to ward it off all the issues and to stuck with it. And, you know, he showed a fair amount of resolve as well on Sunday. It's not like you wish him bad or ill for it. You know, he deserves that. Lewis certainly has had the better of the reliability in other seasons where Lewis has won. I think Mark Webber made that point, and you don't always keep track of it. But certainly, I think maybe it was the first championship Lewis won with Mercedes. You know, Nico had a nightmare with reliability more often than Lewis.
I think, though, Formula One is an interesting sport where it's different to all those other sports. Whereas, you know, like football, for example, you live and die as a team. Whereas in Formula One, there is a goal which is selfish. But if you succeed in that selfish goal, then the team benefits as well. So, you know, I find it odd that they're frustrated that he's, you know, they seem to think that he's not being a team player, when actually by him doing the best that he can possibly do is going to be best for the team. It doesn't matter which one of the drivers scores the most points for the constructors' title, as long as one of them scores lots of points. And if that's Lewis, then great. But if, you know, and then it's up to the drivers to best each other, and that's why we'd like Formula One, and that's why it's the way it should be. And the teams trying to make one driver do something because it's going to help the other driver, unless they don't have any chance of achieving anything, and it is a case of, you know, you're going to help us beat another rival team, then that's the only time where I see it's going to help. But when it's an inter-team battle between two drivers, like it has been this season, then they just need to let them do the best they can, and if they do the best they can, then the team will flourish as well.
Which does make it quite like cycling. At least in cycling, a whole team is dedicated to its team leader. You just don't, and then there's like nine of them. In Formula One, there's only two, and you can't work out who's going to be the top dog. But there we go. It sets up next year brilliantly. The only issue I did have with Lewis, he didn't seem particularly gracious in all of his post-race interviews. You know, he didn't seem to say much acknowledgement of what Nico had done, which he did. He could have done, because, you know, it was a great moment for him, as much as it would have hurt. And Nico's had to do that for Lewis the last 2 years.
Yeah, I did see, like, a sort of Sky interview, and he seemed a bit more, compared to the Channel 4 one we watched, he seemed a bit more gracious and more well done. I suppose because they do so many interviews, I mean,
you would lose track of what you're saying in each one. That is it's a fine point.
Oh, well done, Nico. And he did congratulate him when he got out of the car.
Yeah. And on the podium, yeah.
Yeah, and there was pictures later when they'd done the big photo, and he was hugging Rosberg's wife and mum and all that. So, and also, Lewis, he's not going to lie and say, oh, I'm really pleased for Nico Rosberg, because he was absolutely gutted. And that's why he did what he did during the race.
He's going to be deflated straight after. As soon as he gets out of that car, having done what he's just done, he's not achieved what he's out to do. So he's going to be deflated for a period of time. And then they interview you straight away. He hasn't had time to kind of bounce back. And so, yeah, I think that's a bit unfair to sort of judge him a little bit on that side of things.
And, I mean, even though this is a kind of different example because they weren't teammates or rivals, but if you look at Alonso in 2012 at Brazil, Vettel just did enough. Alonso thought he'd done it, and he just had that, I think they said, like, 1,000-yard stare, and he was just staring across at Vettel celebrating, and you could see he was really gutted. And everyone kind of felt sorry for him at that point. So I suppose you can kind of sympathise with Hamilton.
You can say the word. Yeah, you can. And I take everyone's point there. I think that's nice balance, guys, because to be honest, that probably was quite harsh on Lewis, so there we go. All right, well, congratulations, Nico Rosberg. What a man, he's going to have some winter. I can assure you that.
Have you seen any of the pictures of his night out?
No.
There were some pictures online, and they went to, I can't remember, was it the Amber Club, I think it was, or something like that, and they had Craig David DJing, and Jay Sean and Drake were performing as well.
Jeez. Well, they already had all the people, you know, playing for the crowds in Abu Dhabi as well.
And yeah, there's all these pictures of I think Ericsson was out, and Ricciardo was out as well. And what was the best thing is all the guys wearing their smart shirts, and you've got Ricciardo turns up in a t-shirt which was already looks like it's soaked in beer, so I don't know what he's been doing.
shoo-wee. Well, there we go. It's what it's all about. Hey, we can at least see the pictures. Good for them. Right, a couple of plugs then. As I said, this is the penultimate podcast of the season. We will be with you with a full-on season review podcast shortly, you know, in a week or two, and hopefully we'll have some best bits. I haven't quite figured out if they'll be in that pod or separately, but that will be the end of the year. We've got loads planned for the winter to press on ahead with a fantastic lineup for 2017. Loads of content that we're promising in our heads. We'll let you know what it is as we go along. If you want to help us put all that together and spread the NRF1 word, because we've had a brilliant year of it and we're just so excited about what next year can bring too, then please go visit patreon.com/NRF1. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. .com/NRF1. And at this point, a massive thank you to the patrons we've got so far that have supported us this year. You've made a great difference, And boy, oh boy, just what we can do next year is thoroughly exciting. If you want to review us on iTunes, give us a rating, let everyone know that you think we're good or not, I don't mind. You say what you want. That's absolutely fine. Just visit nrf1.uk/is on iTunes. And of course, our website is nrf1.uk. You are listening to the NRF1 podcast on Acast, on Audio Boom, on Future Radio. It's time for the NRF1 Pit Stops. Right then, first stop. And we're going to rattle through these a bit because we spent a lot of time talking about the World Championship. Ferrari, as I said at the top of the pod, Sebastian Vettel, they pulled out a good, positive strategy and Sebastian Vettel got on the podium. And he hasn't been there very often, Ridge.
No, he hasn't.
Not this year, anyway.
He started the season on the podium and he's ended the season on the podium. So it's quite nice for him. That's the happiest and calmest I think he's been all year. But I'm actually, even though I'm not a Vettel fan, I'm kind of pleased for him because... I kind of want to slip my wrist as I say this, but he is quite a good...
Oh, please don't.
He is a good driver and he does deserve to be up the front racing as well as do a lot of the others. But I can't carry on talking
about it. No, okay, right, fair enough. Well, good job. Well done. Safely negotiated. And of course, his podium meant that Seb finished ahead of Max Verstappen in the Drivers' Championship, which is a big thing for him, given Max is coming up literally hot on his heels. And Max still drove brilliantly well, didn't he, if we just stop off at Red Bull? I mean, even though he had that sort of start where he got spun around and what have you, he outperformed Daniel Ricciardo and... You know, he literally saved himself a pit stop.
Yeah, I mean, he did another Max style, you know, but one less pit stop than a lot of other people. And yeah, 1 minute was last, next minute he's sort of, you know, in a podium place. You know, unfortunately, Vettel's strategy was just that bit better, and Vettel was on it. But yeah, Max again demonstrates that he is a class act.
But as that guy, as the quote was in the last podcast, he is a bit overrated, Verstappen, and he's got some talent.
Yeah, there is signs of a bit of talent there. Sauber finished the deal. They finished ahead of Manor by not really doing much particularly on Sunday, but they just saw it home. Meanwhile, Manor, Ocon and Verlaine both collided, and of course now they've lost $11 million as well. It's been a pretty good couple of weeks for Manor, so that's quite painful. The only other place I wanted to stop off at is the F1 scrap heap. That's the dustbin at the end of the paddock, where of course we've got Jenson Button and Felipe Massa just sitting there waving, one literally. Obviously Jenson went out with a really early suspension failure, which he seemed to find really amusing. I think his guard of honour to the car lasted longer than his actual race. I think it was lap 12, wasn't it, he went out. And Felipe Massa lasted the whole race, but Williams were so shit we never saw him apart from his donuts at the end. So which was a better departure?
I think it was interesting with Massa because he'd already kind of had his farewell
tears by driving into a wall at Sao Paulo.
Yeah. And then we just had this sort of, it was sort of his last hurrah, which was his donuts. I feel sorry for JB, but he got out of the car and he was like, I don't care.
He was literally having a party. Yeah. He was literally having a party.
He genuinely didn't care. You know, I think he'd already left by the end of that race anyway. So he was never going to have a particularly brilliant race in that heap of a car. And he went to all the effort of having a new special helmet designed for his final race, and then only got 12 laps out of it. So.
Which is a classic DC livery issue, wasn't it? I mean, you were in your own version of...
Yes, yeah, just to show a bit of solidarity.
And DT, we'll make sure that we post that picture of you in your Jenson Button gear up on the feeds. By the magic of podcasts, I've just been on BBC Radio London for the NRF1 podcast, arguing over... You know, the fact that Lewis tries to cause a collision and was completely unsportsmanlike and all that sort of stuff. I put him right. Everyone agreed with me in the end.
That was quite entertaining because whilst Michael was on the phone, I managed to get on my phone, went onto the iPlayer app and managed to listen in to the whole conversation. That was quite entertaining to listen to whilst we were sort of in a mid recording break.
The NRF1 has gone global, apart from the podcast, which is obviously available global. It's gone to the BBC, featured on the BBC. We can say that now. So I'll try and find the clip so that you can all listen to it. But well done, Eddie, the DJ. Get me Eddie Nestor, I think his name was. Might not be his name, but kept me on my toes, even though I won, quite clearly. Right. Anything else anyone wants to say about Jensen? We did a kind of a goodbye. I mean, it's nice that he knew it was his final race and there wasn't any of this fannying around now. He was like, that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, sort of. What do you say? He's had an amazing career, but last two seasons sort of fizzled out. There's been moments of quality, but not any moments of brilliance, really. But it's the same for both him and Fernando. I think Fernando's probably done a slightly better job, but they've been fairly close. But yeah, I suppose what else to say other than thanks, farewell, bienvenue.
Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. Yeah. I mean, you called it pretty well, Rich, because, you know, I think you called it that it would be a classic British exit and ultimately a rare suspension failure and him basically doing interviews half cut, it seemed, and surrounded by his family, the Buttons. It was gold.
It was, yeah. That interview he did with Channel 4 was brilliant. They had Mark Webber there, who was the perfect guy as well to interview him, because... It was, at one point, it was just like, yeah, shut up, mate. We're going to talk to your mum. And it was just, that's what, it's typical Aussie, just say what you want. And because they obviously...
I think that was what Jensen said as well.
No, they seem to get on as well, those guys. So it's...
They are good mates, actually. I think they are generally outside of Formula One, they are pretty good mates. But then most of the Formula One drivers are fairly close, apart from the ones that are obviously neck and neck.
Tight. Well, we'll, of course, look forward to the Rallycross team, won't we, Carl?
Yes, we've... DC as well as Mark Webber, so I think he was trying to plug it to be on Channel 4, wasn't he, and all sorts, but pretty nice early morning, Sunday morning slot.
Meanwhile, Steve Jones obviously fearing that Jensen Button will be presenting the Formula 1 coverage on Channel 4 next year, and he laughed and we all said yeah, probably. So there we go. One little line, I was listening to some of Joe Saywood's stuff on the side podcast as I was heading to Derby and back over the weekend, which was lovely. Great podcast. And there was a great line from Joe Saywood on Felipe Massa. He said he dealt with losing the title in 2008 so well, in people's eyes he is a champion. Oh, too right. I'll take that, although we did crash into a wall in Sao Paulo, which I, to be honest, I think Joe acknowledged that as well, so there we go. Right, okay, well, this is the NRF1 with Audio Boom, Acast and Future Radio. It's Off the Weekend's time, and for the final time this year at a Grand Prix, our Rodolfo Gonzalez driver of the weekend. Who wants to nominate?
Lewis Hamilton. Just for the pure skill of holding somebody up for half a race and taking a whole new meaning to the word controlling a race. And he didn't have to block. Rosberg didn't make a move. He was just in control of the whole race. And he tried to make it exciting. He gave it a go. You can't deny anybody for giving it a go.
To be honest, the guy should be being praised. I'm so sick of this. I just do not get it at all. Rich?
I'm going to give it to Jensen just because it was his last race and just for his laugh ability at his own race. If that's a new word I might have just made up. But
we love them, Rich. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. We'll miss them over the winter.
So I'm going to be controversial here.
I love it, DT.
I'm going to give it to Rosberg.
Oh!
But... And there's a big caveat to the reason why I'm not giving it to him for his actual driving. So going back to all this controversy about was Lewis wrong to do what he did? Actually, Rosberg hasn't complained.
No.
As far as I'm aware.
He just called it really, really hard. But that was the idea, intense pressure.
I think Rosberg respects what Hamilton was trying to do and respects that's okay. And everyone else is taking umbrage with it, but the only person that it really affects, the only person that matters to, is Rosberg, and he doesn't seem to care. So I'm going to give him my driver of the weekend because he dealt with it and dealt with it well.
Spot on. And wasn't Formula One the winner out of all this? For f*** sake. Seriously. Right. Team then. We got everyone there. I didn't give one, but I wouldn't disagree with either of that. Team of the weekend?
Force India. A good race, confirmed fourth in the championship. Obviously Mercedes were dominant, but obviously their management ruined that.
Yeah.
Particularly Ward. Probably Force India.
I would suggest Williams for managing to avoid any television coverage over the course of the entire Grand Prix.
They did get on the TV when Bottas came into the garage. That was a good 30 seconds.
Yeah, and they had a little overtake, didn't they, earlier?
But Force India, that was the big one for them, fourth in the championship. And if you look, it's not that long ago they were at the very back of the grid, so they've done a good job over the years to move forward, so it shows you can enter Formula 1 as a new team and do well.
Could be a shout for team of the season when we get onto our last podcast anyway.
Special mention for Ferrari. Good strategy.
For once. Like a miracle.
Yeah.
Pastor or goat of the weekend. Which Mercedes crew member would you like to give it to? I've just written Mercedes, so they can have that one as far as I'm concerned.
I've got a controversial one. I'm going to say our very own Steve Rust. Just for the most boring set of predictions for the last race of the year ever.
And literally, I think Ped on the WhatsApp group accused him of parking the bus. You're all f***ing screwed. I think that was exactly what he said. You know, that Steve, as I was going to say in when we do the big old prediction reveal in the season review podcast, Steve is a fitting way to try and win any kind of Formula One championship by ignoring the sporting regulations, which he effectively did. So there we go. Yeah, I like that shout. What I will add, though, and hasn't been completely maybe considered, is that we still haven't included the pre-season and midpoint season predictions either. So it's not as straightforward as Steve producing the most benign set of predictions that I've ever seen to win it.
I should also say to him in a kind of Hamilton style, well done, he did what he had to as well. So
you respect him for it.
Yeah.
He won't get any kudos points for it, I can tell you that much. DT?
So, yeah.
We love you really, Steve, by the way.
I'm going to park my normal professional, always professional nature for this segment and say my goat is Paddy f***ing low.
It's a beep for DT. A beep for DT.
Yeah. What a
Two beeps for DT. I better stop there. Spot on. I'm not going to disagree with that.
I'd agree with Paddy Lowe. Also, he's known Lewis from his McLaren days, so he knows what he's like. Just the living in dreamland that nothing is going
to
happen.
Maybe he doesn't like him. Maybe it's all bottled up to that moment. Lewis, I think you really do need to... Whatever it was.
Was he at McLaren in 09 when he ballsed up in Australia and they let Trulli back through and under the safety car? Trulli went off and Hamilton went past and there was a big cover-up. They tried to lie and say, oh, Trulli actually overtook him.
We are now suggesting there's a vendetta.
Was that something that he did? Was he involved in that? Or?
Well, he was part of McLaren, but that day, Dave Ryan took the flak for that, didn't he? He's now at Manor.
But... Took the flak. Not quite the same, is it? Well, okay. Remember, NRF1 changing Formula 1 for the better. Maybe unearthing some, yeah.
Good news for Lewis, though, because Paddy Lowe's off to Ferrari, so...
Is he actually? That would be good news. He might be now, yeah, yeah. Well, as far as Total Wolf's concerned, maybe Lewis Hamilton should race for Christian Horner. That's a direct quote off of the Channel 4. Susie Wolf was stood next to him. She didn't mind.
I'd like to see that happen. Although, in order for that to be really, really good, they'd need three cars, because yes. I wouldn't want them to get rid of either of their drivers either.
Well, there we go. Ferrari want that. So maybe that's the other. They'll all have three car teams and we'll be fine. Highlight, to me... I thought the race was brilliant. Everything afterwards was brilliant. But there's just nothing quite like that build-up to a race that's going to decide the championship. And for it to live up to expectation is brilliant. So I just love the build-up. Up to the moment where the lights go out, it's like, there's nothing quite like it. Your heart's pounding. It's brilliant. And we're not involved in it.
For me, it was simple. Danny Kvyat, get on your bike.
Yes! that doesn't sum up his season much. Quiet. Great shout, Rich.
Yeah, that was actually quite good. And I saw a brilliant meme straight after, which was I started the season in this, and it was a picture of his Red Bull racing car and finished it on this, which is his bike.
Which, in fairness, Toro Rosso had such a bad weekend that was it'd been, you know, the car probably would have struggled to beat a bike, I think, at the time.
I thought it was the last lap. Still, championship still wasn't completely decided at that point, and that's what Formula One should be. Thank you, Lewis Hamilton, for doing it.
You couldn't have gone any slower at that point. I mean, it was proper. Like, I'm literally stopping now.
There was also on the podium, before they had even dished out the champagne, they were just handing out the trophies. The fireworks started going off. They had like the little sparkler things. It was like someone timed that a bit wrong, didn't they?
Was that goat or highlight then?
Oh, a bit of both.
Yeah, a bit of both, why not?
And the right about the last lap, it's what we want from Formula One. And it was genuinely edge of seat stuff. You know, quite often when we finish a race, we kind of know probably a few laps from the end what's going to happen. And you're still sort of, I was sat there on the edge of my sofa, even though I'd actually was watching it late and I knew the result. I was still on the edge of my sofa because it was exciting. And so, yeah, the whole race was a bit of the middle bit was a bit boring, but the whole event was a highlight.
I think that's a good point, because there was a tweet basically that went up, and I can't remember, it was from one of the Dry Autosport or motorsport journalists. They basically said, don't let this cover up the fact it's been a crap season, or don't let this hoodwink you into thinking it's going to be a good season. Now, for me, it was a good season. The middle bit of the season was probably a bit draggy. I don't know what it is. And maybe, that sort of bit where Lewis wasn't being able to get, and things were going wrong and Nico was winning things.
Yeah. Lewis actually summed it up quite well, didn't he, before the race? I think it was part of the Channel 4 coverage. That he said, actually, 2016 has been a bit of a shit year generally. He said, Brexit was crap. He said, Trump is in president. Amazing people have died. He said 2016 is just generally a bit of a shit year, really.
I'm sure Nico agrees. Yeah, it's the day for the shit people. There you are, Nico, or Deutschbag, as we called him this season. Oh, we don't mean it.
If you look at the back of the season,
it's a good pun though.
You had the crash in Spain, which is amazing. You also had the last lap collision between them in Austria, which was also amazing.
And Lewis's blowout was incredible drama. Yeah. Max Verstappen winning his first race for Red Bull.
Yeah. I mean, what more do you want from a season?
And what happened in Monaco as well? Wasn't that what happened in Monaco?
Lewis had the wet race.
Didn't Lewis blow it? Was that last season?
He won it. He won it.
This is why we're not doing the season review yet. Ricciardo blew it, didn't he?
Yeah, the pit stop. It was a slow pit stop. They didn't have a tyre ready or something like that.
Thank you. I thought I wasn't going mad. But yeah, well, that's season review territory, isn't it? So we'll get on to that. But I think we're all done, aren't we, for this? Let me do a couple of plugs. nrf1.uk for blogs, tips and more. We do have high hopes for that next year. I know that with the blogs and the betting tips and things, we didn't quite sustain the momentum. They were a bit like Lewis Hamilton in the second half of the season. But we'll be right back on it, don't you worry. And it's still the best place to go. And as I said, we've got big hopes for that next year. Twitter and Facebook feeds at the NRF1. We've got loads on there, so come and have a look, say hello, leave a comment, speak to us. We love it. And email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We do love hearing from you, and we'll certainly get you involved in the podcast audially, textually, or other release. You can do a video if you want, whichever. We can put it all in. We will be back, as I said, with our season review podcast. It'll be a long one and there'll be lots of people on it. So just to warn you now, but you can listen to it in bite size as you do your various journeys. It'll be a perfect wrap up for the year. We'll cover so many things. We'll try and do our best bits in there as well. So keep an eye out for that. As I said, it'll be with you in a week or two or three, certainly before the end of the year, I promise. And that will also have the big reveal of the Prediction League. Forget your Formula One Drivers' Championship. This is the real deal, and I can tell you, as we know, Steve's been driving pretty slowly in the last round, so we'll see if it ends up winning him the title. But for now, DT, Kyle, Rich, thank you so much for coming in. Thanks to all of you out there for listening. We really appreciate your ears. We definitely respect them. And we'll be back with your ears hopefully in a few weeks' time. Until then, goodbye.